So those of you that have your bulletins and haven't talked to somebody that knew something about today are probably like, well, that's weird. Why is Tim stepping off the stage? Because on the bulletin, it says, where is God in our grief? Psalm 42 and 43, Pastor Tim Cole. I am not Pastor Tim Cole. I don't know if you knew that. But I'll tell you what, you are going to hear that message in God's providence. God's timing, his way, and it just wasn't today. I don't know what else to say other than that. It's really interesting the way these things unfold. This whole week, I don't know, maybe this whole month, I've just been more aware of God's providence, and I'm not always as submissive to that in a way that's like joyous. Sometimes it leaves kind of a submitting to God's providence, which when I say, when he talked about sovereignty, sovereignty is saying that God is in complete control of everything, that he is supreme, he has supreme authority over all things. Well, providence is simply, I heard one pastor define it this way, purposeful sovereignty. So it's not only sovereignty, it's that God has purpose and he's very intentional. He's very specific about the way he works. And sometimes that's still hard for us to get our heads around. How many here struggle with that? We have a few people that struggle with that in different seasons of their life. I know you do. Some of you do because I've talked to you. The other thing I want to say before we get into this is, because at first I thought, well, yesterday when I kind of had an idea that I might be doing this Friday, I knew for sure Saturday morning. And I said, of course I told Tim, well, I have something in my back pocket. And I think he probably thought that I had something that I've used before that I could preach, and it wasn't really like that. I've never actually preached this text, but I have sermons rolling around in my mind and heart all the time. Whether or not I put all those things into practice is a whole nother story. But so I'd been thinking about, and I thought, I think this is what I want to preach on. But, you know, and then I walk in here this morning, and this is just how good God is. This is why I'm telling you this. Not because I'm that good at connecting the dots, and I couldn't have put this together. But in the Sunday school class, which many of you know, Howard has been teaching through Romans, and he's been in Romans for a long time because he digs deep. And so he's in, but I talked to him this morning, and we just connected right before Sunday school. And I haven't been in Sunday school class, to my shame, for a while. But I asked him where he was, and he told me Romans 11, 33 through 36. And I thought, so those of you that were in Sunday school, don't fall asleep. Howard's scholarly. I'm not. So I'm guessing it'll be a little different, right? So, but hopefully you learn. And this is just God, though. That's what he does. He knew before we did that this was going to happen today. And I love that about God. He's way ahead of us. All the time. So let's dig in. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. And how unscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your word go forth in this congregation to these people, to me, to the people in this room and to the people listening. May you do what only you can. Speak to our hearts and cause us to respond rightly, that we wouldn't just listen to another message, but we would hear it and respond in obedience. Lord, we need you to do what only you can. We're depending on that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just real quickly, the first 11 chapters of Romans, I don't know, some of you have heard this already, so correct me if I'm wrong, Howard, okay? But the first 11 chapters of Romans is full of rich, robust theology about man's depravity, God's mercy, God's grace, salvation, justification, election, sanctification, glorification, and a whole bunch of other things that I probably left out. But we are getting ready to now move into, in Romans 12 through 16, we're getting to move into more of the practical application. So because of these life-changing truths that Paul has just laid out for 11 chapters, this is now how we're called to respond, to live our lives. But before we move from orthodoxy, which is learning about it, talking about it, to orthopraxy, which is being about it, actually putting into practice what we say we believe, we must unpack this beautiful doxology, which doxology simply means praising God. That's what we have here. He's praising God. And I want to talk about just the relevancy, which God's word is always relevant, but I feel like I just need to talk about this a little bit today, of why this message is for us right now today. God's word is always for us. But specifically, life is tough. You guys thought I was going to say, but it's tougher when you're stupid, didn't you? That's not what I was going to say. John Wayne said that, but I didn't say that, and I won't say that. But for real, life is tough. I know I don't have to spend a whole bunch of time convincing any of you this. I know some of the things that some of you are going through and have went through in your life. We need to acknowledge it sometimes, that life is hard. A former pastor of ours, some of us that are here, named Mike Evans, said this a long time ago, and it stuck with me. Have your theology in place before the day of trouble comes. Have your theology in place before the day of trouble comes. And Jesus said it even better, because Jesus always does. I love Mike Evans. But Jesus said it better in John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I will say that I cheated and I called Pastor Kurt. Many of you know Pastor Kurt, one of our elders here. Been going through a really rough season. His life radically changed just here a few months ago. He's doing better. He's at home day by day. He's taking it one step at a time. But he got thrown a major curveball a few months ago, and he's really went from running at a pretty good pace, fourth and fifth gear, clear down to downshifting to first in a lot of ways. Many of you know this, but I just talked to him. I told him what I was preaching on this morning, and I just wanted to get his thoughts because he's in the middle of it. He's in the middle of this, wrestling with God's providence. And here's what he said. I'm just going to share a few things. I have permission. Here's what he said in response to this text and sweet and sour submission to God's providence. Here's what he said. One major truth I am certain of, this is for my good and my glory. That's what he said. He says, what is the for my good and how do I give him the most glory? And what does that all look like now and in the future? These are the big questions that I think about a lot. I know the Lord will bring clarity in them. My posture must be one of gratitude, humility, and utter submission to the will of God. My life is certainly not my own. God's sovereign will always trump whatever we think, we know, or want. I view all that has happened and will happen as God's great love and care for me. He draws me in, and that is a most wonderful thing. And then he says, of course, typical pastor, one last thing, if it's helpful. He sent me a text later. No sour grapes, just vivid mental reminders of God's mercy and strength in moments that I simply had none. And he said, this verse sticks, Romans 8:28, which I'm going to read here soon. And he said, so I'm going to read that. Let's read that right now. Romans 8:28 through 30. This is where he ends. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And what Kurt said was, all things that we see in here includes suffering and disease. Does that hold extra weight when you guys, in some ways, knowing what Kurt's going through? It does for me. In the text that we have, turning our attention back to Romans 11, in the text that we have in front of us this morning, we find three amazing declarations, three humbling questions, and one awesome conclusion. That's what Paul's going to lay out for us. So let's dig in and see what we might find. And I'm just asking you, do you come to the Word, when you come to the Word on Sunday morning, or even when you get up early in the morning and get your eyes on God, do you come with a desire to hear something fresh? Even if it's something you've read 1,000 times, God's word is alive. Do you believe that? Don't come, like, you can read something and then tomorrow you can read it and the application is totally different because it's alive and because he's speaking to your situation that you're in right now. He's not speaking to you yesterday. He's speaking to you today. Believe. Come to the word with a fresh hunger that he's going to speak to you. Three amazing declarations we find here. Not getting fancy here, so I don't usually get fancy. But number one, I'm just reading what it says. Number one, oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Notice he starts out, oh. Oh. When we see this word, oh, used like this, think, wow. Think of beholding something that captures your attention in a profound way. Not like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh that says, oh, I'm just going to go do this or that today. Not that kind of oh. Think about maybe more like Tigger. Remember Tigger? He was always super pumped and excited. That's what kind of oh we need to be thinking about when he says this. He says, oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Paul is telling us that God's riches, God's wisdom, and God's knowledge are deeper than we can ever comprehend with our finite minds. I love what Isaiah 40, verse 28 says. Listen to this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And how about Job's words in Job chapter 12, verse 12? I'd never read this before. Some of you are like, wow, what kind of Bible guy are you? Job 12, 12. I love this, though. This is Job's reply. And Job is a great book, but he's replying to some his wonderful counselors in that book. But here's what he says. He says, wisdom is with the aged and understanding in length of days. Wisdom is with the aged and understanding in the length of days. Chew on that for a minute, thinking about God. He has no beginning and he has no end. His wisdom is beyond our comprehension. How wise is our infinite, omniscient, and omnipotent God? God's wisdom and knowledge are deep. They are inexhaustible beyond our capacity to understand. He not only knows everything, he applies it perfectly. So, knowledge is knowing stuff. That's my definition, knowing stuff. And wisdom is applying what we know. And God does it in a perfect way, in a way that none of us can. Second thing we see, number two, how unsearchable are his judgments. Trying to figure out why God does what he does will drive you mad. His judgments are beyond our ability to understand. He reserves the right to do whatever he pleases because he's God. His judgments are always right and good, but that doesn't mean that we will always see that he and believe that he is from our finite perspective. We can't see the way God does. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one might receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Hebrews 9:27 says this, "And just as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes the judgment." Third thing, number three, how inscrutable are his ways? Scrutiny. How many people use scrutiny, the word scrutiny, a lot? Got a lot of people do, a few of you, right? Well, scrutiny, we should scrutinize one another at times. You should scrutinize what I'm saying up here, make sure it lines up with God's word. So scrutinize simply means to inspect closely, to inspect thoroughly. We should do that with a lot of things, but not with God. Not with God. His ways aren't like our ways. He is not like us. We are reminded of this in Psalm 50, verse 21. Psalm chapter 50, verse 21. "These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you." We are not like God. We are made in his image. There are things that we are, we have certain things that he has, you know, attributes, but a lot of them we don't. God is way bigger and way better than you and I are. Thank God. Three humbling questions. Three humbling questions. And just so you know, Paul did this a lot in his letters where he would, these questions are not for you to be like, well, let me think here, maybe, maybe not. They're hopefully the kind when you ask this question to yourself, there's only one right answer. I know people tell you in school that there's, you know, there's never a wrong answer. Sometimes there is. So if you say anything other than no one, you're wrong here. And if I, same as me, if I, so here's the questions. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? No one. Who has given him a gift that he might be repaid? No one. No one. these questions are really meant to put us in our place. And sometimes we need to be put in our place, don't we? Amen. Amen, we do. He is God and we are not. And yet, it is absolutely inevitable that we will wrestle with him just like Jacob did. And the crazy thing is, he lets us. God lets us wrestle with him. He knows that we are going to have a hard time with this, and he's patient with us in our wrestling. The fact that he even allows us to doubt him and wrestle and work through these things is mind-blowing. What a patient God he is. You ever think about that? How patient has he been with you? How faithful has he been to you? And yet he's still patient with you when you doubt him. Aren't you glad that God's not like us? Aren't you glad? I sure am. So we talked about our three declarations that Paul makes, the three questions that he poses, which are rhetorical questions. And then we find us in verse 36, which might be one of the best verses in the Bible. One of them. There's a lot of them, right? There's a lot. Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Let's say that together. For from him, to him, and through him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is infinite. He's completely sovereign, and he does whatever he pleases. But not only that, for those of us that have submitted our lives to him, God is working, like Kurt said earlier, and what Romans 8:28 says, God is working all things for our good and his glory. Yes, even those things that we may not understand right now. Even those things. All of them. We are all facing and will face sufferings, slander, and trials of various kinds in our lives. None of us are exempt or above that, above or beyond that. God's providence won't always feel sweet. Sometimes it might even taste downright sour. But it's during these seasons that we must submit to his providence and cling to his word even more. And sometimes you need other brothers and sisters in Christ to help you do that, because you cannot do it on your own. I really want to call someone out because they shook their head when I said, I'm not going to do it though. Someone shook their head no. Can you believe that? Anyway, if I told you who it was, you probably would. But here's the deal. We need one another. There's times where we can't see beyond our circumstance and our situation and our fickle feelings that change constantly. Psalm 119:50. These are verses to cling to. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll look at, I love the whole chapter, but we won't read the whole chapter. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. God knows what he is doing in your situation right now. He's in control. His providence is working and doing things that you can't even understand or see. And you may not see it on this side of glory. If you're in Christ, some of these things, not everything's going to be answered on this side of heaven. But he's always working. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose, he's working all things for his glory and our good. Probably butcher this guy's name because don't know him very well. I just know this one song that he sang. He was a hymn writer. So correct me if I'm wrong, and I really want somebody to correct me if I'm wrong. So just do it. So he's from the 1700s, and he sang a song called God Moves in Mysterious Ways. God moves in a mysterious way, and his name is, I'm already looking at the guy that's going to correct me. I am. I already know. William Cowper. Okay, I was going to say it wrong. I'm glad you did that. I was going to say Cowper, because it looked like Cowper. It's C-O-W-P-E-R. Cooper. I knew David Negley would correct me. Actually, he did it before he knew I was going to make a mistake. Thanks, bro. William Cowper. God moves in a mysterious way. And I'm not going to sing it, but I am going to sing, and I'm not going to do the whole song. So this is different, right? Usually I have a whole long song that I go over, but just a few words here. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. That's powerful. And I'm going to close. It'll take me a few minutes, so don't get in too big of a hurry. Acts chapter 2. Is where we're going to end Acts chapter 2. And I believe this is one of the many places in Scripture that really help us to see how God's providence is so much bigger than what we think it is. It's so much deeper. We don't always understand his wisdom and the way he's working. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. The greatest example of sweet and sour submission to God's providence is that Jesus Christ came down from heaven and took the wrath that should have been ours, that should have been put on us. He willingly laid down his life so that we might live. He took the nails, he took the thorns, he took all that he took on that cross. He bled and died so that we might live. And he rose again, conquering sin and death and hell forever. That's what he did. None of us would be saved. There's no other way to be saved other than that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Don't you love God's providence? You should. Don't despise his providence even when you don't understand it. Sometimes we have to embrace the mystery of God's sovereignty and God, man's responsibility and how that all works out. They're both true. Seems like a conundrum for us, but it's not a conundrum for God. God knows exactly what he's doing. Don't despise God's providence, even when there's mystery in it. Run to it. Submit to it. Cling to it. Don't despise it. That was a beautiful song that we sang. It was like the second or third song we sang, the unnamed, I don't know if I really want to name her name, but she'll get embarrassed, so I won't. Some of you probably know, but that song that we sang, Dear Church, He is Worthy, there was one line that just really, as I was in here before while they were practicing, that really stuck. And this is how I'll end. Dear church, you will be tested and tried in this world. At times you may question if God's plan is good. But he who made you has called you his own. Hold fast to the promise he is leading you home. He is worthy. He is enough. I hope you believe that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is so deep and so rich that just when we think we understand it, you show us more. Since you are infinite, that means that there's always more of you to know and have in our relationship with you. Lord, you're infinite. You're inexhaustible. May we never forget that. May we continue to come to you in ways that we're not as desperate as we should be. If we really knew and believed what we say we do as believers, we would be a lot more desperate in the way we live our lives. Lord, help us. For those of us that are in Christ, help us to dig deeper and to that we wouldn't get stale and complacent, that we would have a desire to run even harder for your glory, that we wouldn't be caught up in our own agendas that don't matter in eternity. Lord, help us to have eternal perspectives. And if there's someone here that does not know you, that doesn't know your sweet providence, that does not know what you did for them on the cross, I pray that today would be the day that they repent and believe. May they not walk out of here without settling that matter. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. Help us to live radically different because of who you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.